Welcome back to Totally Unrelated, guys. It's Friday morning. How are you feeling? Did you think I wasn't going to drop another podcast before Christmas? I wasn't sure I was going to, but had such a good week. I decided I needed to drop one on Friday. And on Keep It Moving Monday, I mentioned to my MyFitnessPal friends that if they commented or liked my status, I'd give them a shout out. And I bet you thought I forgot about you. I bet you were like, oh, well, why did I comment? Well, I didn't forget about you, baby, so let's get it going. I picked this song out just for you. It's called Love for Everyone. Ooh, it's kind of funky, isn't it? All right. Thank you, Blazing Brunette. You need to update your profile. Rowdy Girl 69, looking good, baby. Looking good. 69 in your profile name? I think we know what's going on here. Green M&M's 92563. Looking good. Thanks for the shout out, baby. H Factor, H underscore Factor, 44, Jacksonville, Florida. He's got chains in his profile picture. He's a hunter, ladies. Go get him. Alexi Mondo, looking good. I like the picture. Update. Cambria 76, you know who you are. Los Angeles. Gotta change for me. That's a nice profile name, especially for my fitness pal. Thank you for the shout out. TJAR 3. No way you're 51. You look like you're 22. Keep it going. Tasha Star 24. Thank you. Medic, thank you for your service. Now here's a profile name I'm probably going to misspell or mispronounce. Kill Gallons. Or Kill Gal on 1. I'm not sure what it is, but you're looking good. Learning to like yourself. England, England, holla. Chandra Miller, 68, Houston, Texas. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your support. All right, now here's another one. D. Leasak. That's all one word, ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't call it what it looks like. Very nice profile picture of an eyeball. It's amazing to me how many people here don't add their progress. That's what it's all about. Fill something out. Let me know about you. I know you're on here. I know you're active. Thank you for your support. Angie Rain, RCS. Looks like you're drinking an espresso. I like that. Let's get it on. Stay motivated. Karen, underscore 8992. Topeka, Kansas. Hey, I come there often. Come to one of my comedy shows. Thank you for your support. CC Cola, 2014. Looking good. I can't tell which one's you. Is that you or your sister? Looking good. Take care. Lost 30 pounds. I like to see it. Oh, 125 likes. I can only see about 8 of them. So I'm going to click on this to see who gets it. Power chick. Power kick chick. Lost 55 pounds. Thank you. Hank Hill 300. Lost 92 pounds. Keep it going, son. Stay the course. 1982. Down 1 pound. That's better than up. Ashes. 628, down 15 pounds, keep it going. Eagles fan, forever, down 10 pounds. Nice. Thank you for your support. Have a great Friday. We're going to drop the rest of this podcast without the music. But it's kind of funky. You should add this as your ringtone, ladies and gentlemen. Add it as your alarm clock. It's Friday morning. Get your weekend going. I don't care what you're doing. Get up. Get moving. I love you. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for everybody that participated. I got to figure out a way to count everybody that liked that status and find a way to include it the next time I do it. I think I'm going to make that a regular part. Not every episode, but definitely want to do it again. It's Friday, guys. Big things going on today. If you're listening to this in the morning, before noon, go ahead and tune in to WYSO in Yellow Springs. I will be on with Nikki Dakota during the noon hour, talking about stuff. It's a great show. Check it out. Later that evening, I'll be at the Spirited Goat Coffee Shop in Yellow Springs, performing with 19 other comedians. No, it's not that many. Friday, December 18th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Rascals presents Stand Up at the Goat. It's a free admission. We've got Aaron Phillips, Jessica Grau, Walter Yosef, Luke Capasso, Joe Young, Adrian Miller, and Adrian Cosby. Two Adrians for free, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where you're going to get that kind of value outside of Yellow Springs. Inside Yellow Springs, deals are sometimes hard to come by. You know, even Birkenstocks are buy one, get one at the same price. Okay? So come out, support live comedy. I'll be on the radio tomorrow, noon hour with Nikki Dakota, talking about these shows and other shows coming up. I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th of December. Then we'll take a break, come back in January. Grand opening. Actually, it's the soft opening of the Liberty Funny Bone. I'll be down there with Jay Snyder and other comedians. It's a Wednesday. I'm going to try and get free tickets. I'll let you know. I'll post on Facebook, Cosby Comedy, if you're not already... if we're not already friends. Liberty Township is between Middletown and... it's just south of Middletown. I guess that's the best way to say it. One exit past the Middletown exit if you're coming out of Dayton. If you're in Cincinnati coming up, it's like 20 minutes out of Cincinnati. Great club. Awesome. Awesome layout. Brand spanking new. And if you remember from previous episodes, I helped construct it. Worked on about 0.01% of it this summer, but that was fun. Return to my construction roots. What else, guys? This episode, we're going to visit with Jay Snyder again. Part two of the Jay Snyder Chronicles. Story time with Jay Snyder. This guy has a story for every occasion. We talk about Christmas stories and a few others. I'm going to pepper in a couple other stories here. And yeah, have a good weekend, guys. It's Friday. Enjoy yourself. Get up. Get out. Get active. We've been enjoying this warm weather, and if you haven't gotten out and enjoyed it, shame on you. Shame on you. But you know what? You can still get out and get active even when it's cold outside because it's only like 38 degrees. You know, in January and early February, it is going to be way worse. So enjoy it while you can. If you live in a place where it's always warm, nobody cares, okay? Nobody likes you and nobody cares, okay? All right. That out of the way. Here we go. Episode 16, Storytime with Jay Snyder, Part 2. Have a good weekend, everybody.
So Adrian's got blue shoes, green pants, black shirt. His hair looks like he just got a haircut. The hair is on point. I'm going to have to talk to him about these blue shoes and these green pants. I don't know. You know, I'm actually known for my sense of fashion. A lot of people don't know that about me, but maybe somebody does. I don't know. I don't know. If I just had a fucking size 14 foot, I would just... steal a pair of Adrian's shoes every time I got in the car, but I don't. So it looks like I'm just going to have to go with that. Alright, he's coming back already. Damn, that was quick. White power. Adrian's tits looking good. Been working out. Hey, we were just talking about you.
Hey, imagine that. It's a small world, man. Let me ask you this. Look at this guy in the corner here. He's got a yarmulke on.
Oh, he's about to get his ass beat.
Well, I mean, that's obvious.
But if you look at it closely, it looks like a dashiki art on it or something, like some African tribal art on it. And he's clearly a white guy.
You think he's ISIL? Is that what you're saying?
I'm thinking he might be ISIL. I'm thinking he might be an extremist. And I started thinking about it today. Listen, they don't want to talk about Muslim extremists. And I don't, how do you feel about that? Like, whether you should say Muslim extremists or just extremists?
I would think just extremists.
It does a disservice to every other Muslim when you
absolutely.
Say... Just like it does when you say Christian extremists.
Dude, I was actually thinking about this last night, you know, so Donald Trump wants to send all the Mexican... Or the actually, let's go with Mexicans first. Let's use the Mexicans as a trial run to see...
how we're going to get the Muslims.
How we're going to get the Muslims up. But so Trump wants to send all the Muslims out of the country or whatever. And a lot of people don't know that Dave Chappelle is actually a Muslim.
Right.
Now, if you know how quick America would turn, they try to put Chappelle out of this
He's a goddamn national treasure.
But yeah, that's fucking
I could see Donald Trump using Dave Chappelle's black white supremacist as a model for why we should be getting rid of Muslims.
And not even pick up on the irony.
Not even pick up. Just like he's quoting Colbert or some shit.
It's weird. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days, but I think that Trump just said, fuck it, I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring. Because he's thinking, you know, the worst that can come out of it, I get a ton of press, which he loves.
Yeah.
And he's thinking... The best, I could actually win this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I think that he threw it in just fucking around and it actually started picking up.
Yeah, I think this is the most serious he's ever really been about it because he's always had traction. He's always gotten a little bit of traction and then he always falls out. But here's the thing that I actually like about Trump is that he does say what he means. I mean, he says what's on his mind.
Right.
And right or wrong... That's really all I want is for you to tell me who you really are.
Exactly.
And it's a shell game with everybody else, hiding who they are, pretending they don't have the views that they have.
Right.
But it's like...
Empty promises.
Yeah, it's like we got to stamp out racism. You're never going to stamp out racism. All you can really hope to do is tell everybody, just be open with your racism. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Let's not... You don't have to...
Own it.
Yeah, I'd rather know. Then you walking around with a mean face because there's a black guy in your store. But, yeah, that's probably never going to happen either. But this is why this is the conclusion to that, extremist. I think we need to start calling the cops that shoot people needlessly law enforcement extremists.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, if we're going to call Christian extremists, Muslim extremists... law enforcement extremists to me are what it does for me in that point is because once you start saying that, then the police unions are going to be like, you're painting all of us with a
absolutely.
They're the first ones.
That's a good one.
They're the first ones that when a cop does something horrible to be like, well, we don't have all the facts. We don't have all the and then all the facts come in and they're like, there are some things that you just don't get. There, you know, there's some aspects, and he was justified regardless of what the trial says. You know, it's like, no matter what, they're not going to say anything bad about the case.
Right.
Like the one that happened in Chicago. And there's another video of another kid getting shot, allegedly in the back, that they haven't released yet. They're having to sue.
In Chicago also?
Yeah, they're having to sue to release these tapes. Which I think that should be...
And that just shows that they're trying to cover for... I mean, if it was the other way around...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it was somebody shooting a cop. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be plastered that night. They would call the news stations down immediately.
I think that's what's funny also is everybody that shoots a cop is presumed guilty.
I thought you were going to say black.
That goes without saying. actually, I wonder what the ratio is for people shooting cops. I wonder. I don't even know if that's... I don't know if it matters, and I don't know if it's knowable. You know what I mean?
I would say that the people that actually shoot the cops, majority are white guys. Because, you know, black guys are usually running from. You know how hard it is to aim and shoot
like shooting
you're
over your shoulder.
Right, yeah.
And you got a TV in one hand.
Right.
But you're strong because you've got that slavery.
Yeah, and you got that extra muscle. Yeah.
Got an extra bone in your dick. That's why they make all them babies.
Yeah, when I lived in Jackson, there's this old guy, and we just... And he was an old alcoholic or whatever. And we just hang out because I was a young alcoholic. You know, I was kind of a alcoholic's apprentice at that point.
Nice.
And so, but he wore a necklace where he seen a dead possum on the side of the road. And he went over, cut its dick off. And inside its dick is a tiny little
horn or something.
Almost like a little horn. It's almost like those plastic flossing sticks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like that. And he just wore a possum dick on a necklace. And he would use it as a toothpick. This dude was weird as hell.
That's where I get my chi.
It's but what was I going to... I was going to add something to the Donald Trump thing. So, like you were saying, he says whatever he thinks is... You know, he speaks his mind, which is why a lot of people hate him. But I like that because... And I like that he's, like, real firm in what... You know, he's saying all the hard things that nobody else will say. I like that, but I just don't like the shit that he's saying.
Yeah.
But I do like that he's fucking saying all this shit because I think that, you know... Look at Putin or whatever... You know, they fuck with him. He just immediately started, and I feel like that's kind of how we need to be. But I feel like we have so many coals in the fire right now that you know we're not. I remember years ago I heard a story about I think it was somebody from China. China was raising their defense costs by nearly doubling it or whatever, and I think Bush was still president this time, The White House says, why do you need to double your military, it costs your military or whatever, you're not at war with anybody. And then China says to us, why does it even matter to you? The United States military costs more than the rest of the world's military combined.
Right.
And, the speaker for the U.S. said, we're kind of policing the world. And then they said, who the fuck made you the police of the world? Yeah. And it was,
it's one of those things where it's like, I think it's true in some ways that it's better to lead than follow in some areas. And since we've been leading for so long, we're not going to whatever takes us out of the lead is going to be abrupt and painful.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't fight for the lead. I think the way things are going, we probably will fight to keep the lead. However, there's a lot to be said for second place and third place, man. There's a lot less backstabbing. I mean, nobody's beefing with Canada. Nobody's beefing with, fucking... Well, I mean, like Belgium was going to be Paris has been attacked. And some of these other countries, they're major sites or whatever, but...
The Swiss, they're friendly people.
I don't know what it is that has... this country be so polarized in different areas because a lot of people are like, everybody's out for themselves today. Everybody's just out for themselves. And I'd say yeah, a lot of people are just out for themselves and always have been. But it's really about like your community, who you surround yourself with. That's going to really shape your worldview the most because what's going on in the ghettos of Dayton today hasn't affected my life in a way that I can tell.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't live there. But if I lived there, then the things that were going on there would probably affect my life a lot more, and I'd have a lot... Different things would concern me. And I think a lot of people think that what's going on in their world is what everybody's concerned
with. Right.
You know, just in their immediate communities or whatever. It's like the people that police the trick-or-treaters in their neighborhood. Like, do you live in this neighborhood? Okay, then you can't trick-or-treat here, okay?
Yeah.
Because we give out better candy.
Yeah, these are king-size. Yeah. These are a special edition peanut butter Snickers, all right?
Yeah, you're not. Your poor teeth can't handle this.
Yeah, can I see, do you have a electric bill or a gas bill where your address?
And a form of ID, and I'm going to need a blood test because you might
have... Thumbprint right here. Let me scan your print real quick. Retinal scan, make sure that you're not dicking around.
It's craziness. Did you watch the fight last night?
No.
McGregor and...
I did see a clip of it.
It was McGregor and Aldo, and there was a bunch of undercard fights, most of them not very exciting. The co-headliners of the fight.
Which is the two features, right?
Yeah, two features. Was a good fight. It went four rounds out of five with, I guess, a the referee stopped the fight. But they were saying, I don't know that much about MMA, but they were saying that the refereeing for the second to last fight was bad. Because he almost stopped the fight in the third round, but then they went to a fourth round where he did stop the fight. But it was like the last 10 seconds, he's on top of him, just ground and pound, ground and pound, ground and pound. And the referee stepped in and put his, like, stop, you know, I'm calling it, right as the bell went for the round. So he was basically like, well, he's saved by the bell. But it looked like he was like, look, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt to stay in the fight for the last 10 seconds. I'm not going to call it with 2 seconds left.
Right.
But when the guy got to his feet, he was...
Yeah, just wobbly. Got pummeled for... I don't really watch...
I couldn't watch it. Rogan's the one that got me into it. Listening to his podcast and just listening to him talk about it. I don't even listen to the episodes where he interviews fighters very often. Unless there's a comedian in the room, too.
Right.
But just listening to him talk about the technical aspects of it and how they kind of relate to comedy gave me a real ear for it. And then when I watched it again, I had a different appreciation for it. It's savagery... This is why I can justify it, though. These guys beat the crap out of each other and hug each other before they go back to their corners at the end of the fight a lot of times.
It's crazy, ain't it? Yeah, because a lot of them are friends.
Yeah. Like, I was just trying to kill you a half a second ago, but now I'm concerned for your health.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't bite you is because we're not allowed.
Yeah.
But we're friends, you know?
Yeah. The McGregor fight, though. So, McGregor's been talking shit... you can't even call it really talking shit. He's been predicting the future in sort of a pompous, arrogant way, saying, I'm going to win in the first round. Even when he was like 19, he was videotaped saying, I'm going to be a world champion. I'm going to be the world. Mark my words. Trust me. I'm going to do this. And last night he was fighting a guy who hadn't lost a fight since like 2010 or something like that. Maybe it had been 10 years. I don't remember what they said exactly.
Damn. But
I go upstairs after they introduce McGregor. He walks in the ring, they're playing music or whatever, and they're about to introduce Jose Aldo, and he's like walking in, and I'm like, alright, now I'm gonna go get some apple pie. I went to Jason Goodall's house, we all watched the fight. Jay Armstrong was there.
Yeah, I saw some pictures.
And it was nice. And I went upstairs, grabbed a piece of apple pie. I come down the stairs. I mean, how long does it take to go up the stairs, grab a piece of apple pie, come down 15, 30 seconds?
Went through the medicine cabinet and...
Did that earlier.
Snacked a couple forks.
Did that earlier. Got the car keys and everything. I'll be back. I come down the stairs. I look around. The fight's already started. I'm like, oh, that's fast. Before I even sit down, the fight's over. Everyone's screaming and cheering and shit. I didn't see it happen because I was, like, looking for my seat. 15 seconds in. Even Joe Rogan's like, I'm not even sure what just happened. And you watch the replay. They square up. The first, it looked to me like the first punch is thrown was McGregor comes in with like a right, and maybe a half a millisecond later, Jose comes in with the right, and McGregor's lands milliseconds before Jose's
death. I saw that, and that looked like that was going to be a knockout
punch.
Dude,
if he wasn't knocked out before he followed through, before the follow through, it could have been a double knockout. But
that'd be great.
But Jose went straight down to the mat, and after that, then it was 2 pounds to the face, and it was over. And
I saw that he was hammer punched, like
boom, boom, right to the face. And if the first one, you know, if the first hit wasn't going to end the fight, those two blows. But like, they didn't show much of the replay after he fell to the mat. But if you notice, when he fell to the mat, he was, like, trying to get up, but it was like his arms were doing, like, that kind of...
Like when you huff too much gas and
exactly.
You black out.
Exactly, or you take a massive salvia hit or something, and your arms are doing something that are not in your control. It was disturbing to see that.
Could you imagine the nerves fighting in front of that many people?
That's
just for men, that's like, you know, that's like the manliest thing you can do,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking about.
Your dick's bigger, but I can beat your ass. So now what?
It's what makes this whole gun culture thing so weird, is that you could be a lethally trained fighter and stopped at 20 yards by somebody who never gets off the couch over some beef or something, or over some pride or something that could have been handled like some gentleman.
With a cigar
and 20 paces, a white glove get you slapped in the face, and that's how we start this.
That's the way they should do it from now on. Fuck MMA. Let's do duel.
Yeah. 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 Maybe in a ring.
Ten paces, you motherfucker.
Blindfolded, so somebody in the audience is going to get it, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And I wouldn't mind to see a nice stabbing contest. Each person gets one. It's like a kicking in the balls contest.
You know, I always wondered what happened to jousting.
Yeah. Yeah, very underrated.
You know what I think it was? And I don't quote me on this, but I think what it was that somebody decided that jousting was inhumane to the horses.
Probably, you know, so. Fucking liberals.
Yeah, dude can take a spear to the chest through a plate of armor any day of the week, but you hit that fucking horse. Yeah. I wonder if PETA was around in the medieval times.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, I don't know. I would eat horse. Is that what what you're getting to?
You had a school lunch before, I assume.
Yeah, I used to serve them. Yeah, I actually did. I worked in this when I lived in Chillicothe. It was called OWE, and it was just kind of like you would go and work for like the first period and last period of the day. And they actually give you a check. I don't even know what OWE stands for. Some kind of occupational work fucking thing. But I didn't realize it was all like poor kids. But they'd actually give you a check, would pay you. Because I had to help in like the library and things like that, and I didn't know at the time it's all the skanky kids and the fucking retards and all that stuff, and
trying to teach you a skill early.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was like $150 every couple weeks you would get or what. It was fucking ridiculous.
They made the check out to you?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They gave you a check.
Man, freshman age, something like that. You know, which by then I needed something to support my habit anyway. So.
Sure, that's what I was thinking. That's a dangerous amount of money for somebody who's in high school. Because I think my first couple paychecks I ever got, the money didn't go to anything good. But I started working very young. Like, my first job was probably a paper route. And I think I got that in third or fourth grade. And I hated reading. I hated reading so much that when I would deliver the papers, I tried to memorize it from the person that showed me the route the week before.
Right.
I went back the next week and just started throwing papers at the house.
Fucking
that I
where it ran out before
the they the were route. Like, what the hell did you do? Like, we've never
you been
had
playing
so
Paperboy
many...
on Atari? What the hell, dude?
So then I finally read the instructions, and it was so freaking confusing to me. Dyslexia and not being a good reader and everything. But I got it down, and I got it to the point where, like, within a couple weeks, I had the route memorized again. Or not again, but actually memorized. And I went on to have several paper routes. I think I probably had a total of 7 different paper routes. And that was good money. And I would spend all of it on junk food and arcade games and stuff like that. Yeah. Never really. But it was nice always having some money in my pocket.
Awesome. You remember how far $5 used to get? I remember on like Friday, we'd go to do something and Mom would give us each $5. We're like, holy shit.
What are we going to do week?
We'd all just put it together and then just buy a bunch of beer. And then it was always in the bottle so we could keep our caps in our pocket so we would know how many we drank. Which I would just
was that like
drink all
was
of
that them. Like to so be like, I only had this money or I had...
Look, look, I had 8.
Yeah.
But I remember you would drink one and then just be wasted. But at that time, we'd just go...
What'd you drink? What kind of beer?
Just like Budweiser or Busch or something, you know, cheap beer.
We used to drink Miller Genuine Draft.
I got on the draft kick. I was walking down the road one day, and got on a real Miller High Life kick one time, because I was walking down the road, middle of summer, dying of thirst, hotter than piss, and a Miller High Life truck drove by, and just the bottle on the side of the truck looked so refreshed. Mm-hmm. I was like, we're going right now and getting Miller High Life.
That shit tastes like piss to me. But now both Genuine Draft and High Life taste like water to me.
Me and when me and Tom Dustin and Landry went to Cincinnati a few weeks ago, we came back to Fox and Hound and drank. We were drinking Miller Genuine Draft. It was weird. It was kind of delightful, though I was nearly blacked out at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. That after 4 or 5 beers, it doesn't really matter what I'm drinking. But if I, like when I go to the Toledo Funny Bone, I try not to drink too much. But if I drink that Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
That stuff will take you to a whole new level. I drank it for 1 weekend. Vince turned me onto it. Me too. And then I was like, wow, yeah, this is too much for me.
I told him I was there when I first started drinking it. I was with Vince, and he was like, he's like, you gonna have anything to drink? I was like, you know, dude, I was like, I'm trying not to drink before shows. He's like, good for you. Let me get 2 Kentucky bourbon ales. I was like,
yes, yeah, he won't do that with me. He knows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd be like, give me 2 for myself and 30 for
and
my buddy
sure
Jay.
Make sure Jay doesn't get anything. He's a raging alcoholic.
He don't need no help.
Yeah, the son of a bitch would drink 8 before he goes on stage.
Yeah, he ain't even been to sleep yet.
Yeah. We had a good week. When was Thanksgiving? The week of Thanksgiving at the Funny Bone, we had a good week.
That's right. Who are you? Who else was there?
Me, Vince, and Joe Deuce.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Joe Deuce is funny as hell. He's got that one joke where he says that his aunt went to tried to find a chicken recipe and went to blackpeoplemeat.com.
Yeah.
Kills me every time, and I just don't feel like it gets the laugh that it
deserves.
It's
not going to in Beaver Creek, I don't think.
And I think a lot of them just don't understand what, you know, they're fucking idiots. But
black people meet.
Let's tell a Christmas story. So I was out stealing. I used to go out stealing Christmas ornaments and all that good shit
from the outside of people's homes.
From people's yards, yeah. And so,
from their Christmas trees, it's real hard.
But we went, and these people had like this, it must have been a 6 or 8 foot tall nutcracker. And so, me and my older brother went, and we grab that son of a bitch, and we take off running to the car. But it's I don't even remember. It was really lightweight, so it wasn't, but it seemed like it was kind of wood, so it was probably like that fake press. Mm-hmm. Treated wood or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we picked it up and took off running, but it was in sections, like 4 sections. So we started running with it, and it just started falling apart. So we just dropped it and took off. Then we go and we steal a baby Jesus out of somebody's nativity scene. And we're driving down the road, and there's a guy on a bicycle, and he's got all the flashing lights and everything. And he's going the same direction we are, so we're coming up behind him. And I just hang out the window about to my waist. And just as we're coming up behind him, I go, hey! And he turns around and I fling. And I have the baby Jesus fetus by the foot. And I fucking fling. And I don't let go of the son of a bitch until I feel it smack him. When I feel it connect, I let go of the damn thing. And I mean, rolled him off the bicycle, everything, and... We're all just laughing our balls off, right? And then, you know, we're riding around another half an hour later or whatever, and there's a guy jogging, and and he's got all the reflectors and all that good stuff, so you can see him from forever away. And I'm looking around. I don't have another fetus, so I just take this old plastic Mountain Dew bottle. It was about half full or whatever, and I just shake it up as hard and fast as I can so it builds up all that pressure. It was so hard. We get up beside him and I go, hey, and he turns around and I throw it, smack him in the side of the head or whatever. We're laughing, high-fiving, and we make it up about 80 or 100 yards and we catch a red light, and I look in the mirror and this son, and dude, this motherfucker is running. He looked like a fucking either that first Red Hot Chili Peppers video where that dude was just that, but kind of like in Terminator, where that cop takes off like a slow run, and then he's...
I'm going to get you.
But we're behind a couple cars, so we can't even turn right to get away from this son of a bitch, right? And, I mean, he is coming, and he's running hard, and he's pissed off. And, I mean, right before he gets to the back of the car, the light turns, and the car's getting... I mean, my buddy stomps it, and we pull... But to tell you the fear that I had... Because I knew that son of a bitch was going to get to that passenger window and just knock my head off.
Man, I can't believe you're riding around. Is this in your hometown?
Yeah, this is in Jackson, yeah.
So you're assaulting people in a car that people know about town?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a town of 6,000 people. never got caught for that. But, yeah, it was weird.
I can honestly say, at Christmas time... You're going to hell, Jay Snyder.
That's funny. Well, you know.
That was some Christmas spirit shit. So let me ask you this. What was the idea behind stealing Christmas ornaments? Would you set them up in other people's yards, or would you just...
No, I would take them and trade them for weed at a drug dealer, but then...
At a drug dealer who worked the fence on Christmas ornaments.
Right. Well, he didn't have any, but he worked in... He lived in, like, these low-income apartments or whatever, and so it started with... I don't even know what it started with. It started with small items or whatever, yeah. And then he'd give us a joint or whatever, and then we're like, oh, okay,
I understand the
season, yeah. So, you know, motherfucker wake up the next morning, we got his whole house, got lights spread across the roof over to the next apartment.
He's like, how long's
yard ornaments and shit. Yeah. And he's like, dude, we can't know. That's it, man. It's too much, dude. What, look at all this shit. What the hell do you expect me to do with all this shit? All
right, we'll stop, but you owe us an ounce.
Square up.
Square up, motherfucker.
But
did you ever spend Christmas by yourself, alone?
I don't think so.
I did one year when I was in, when I'd been like 1996, maybe 96 or 95, I was going to Wright State, and I lived on campus, and I was young enough, and I didn't give a shit enough to not go see my family, which my mom lived in North Carolina, my dad lived in Hawaii, so it was like, I'm not coming to see anybody. You know, right. I just don't feel like doing that much driving or traveling or whatever. And nobody really offered to buy me a plane ticket or anything. So I was okay with it at the time. I was like, nah, this would be cool. I'll chill by myself. And it's Christmas Eve. And I'm in my dorm room. And I have everything I need. You know, I got food. I wasn't drinking, I think, at the time. But I had plenty to drink. I had weed. And I get this call from a guy I worked with who, ironically, is the brother of the mother of my son. But this is way before she and I ever hooked up or anything. But we all worked together. That's how I met my son's mother.
Right.
And he's like, hey, man, can I get some weed? And it was two guys that came over. And I was like, yeah, I think I can spare some.
Right.
And so they come over. And I was in the dorm, so my room was on the third floor, and at the end of each hallway, the door's locked if you let them shut behind you. And you have a key to get back in, like a regular old key.
Right.
Or you could use the call box down at the bottom and call the person's room, and they would have to come out and meet you. So that's what they did. When they got there, they called from the call box. I went out to meet them. I was like, come up to the third floor. And because I had, like, my room was just spread out with stuff that I didn't want strangers to see. Plus, nobody was there. I think there was one RA in the entire building, and everybody else had gone home for Christmas. So I was like, I don't need any privacy. I just do this at the end of the hallway. And they come up. I go to the end of the hallway. I talk to them for a few minutes. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt and socks because I'm in a building. and they leave. And as I...
Sounds like risky business to me.
Yeah. They leave. And I walked them down, actually. I walked them all the way down the stairs, and they walk out the door. And then I walk back up and realize I don't even have my key.
No.
So I'm like, and I'm not, it's so cold outside, there's no way. It's actually actively snowing. And I was like, without shoes, there's no way I can get very far. My feet will freeze off. And so I start calling just random numbers from the call box. I called zero for the operator or whatever. Nobody answers. I called public safety. Nobody answers. And so I'm just sitting there, and it's in the building, but you're outside of the heated area. So any heat that's in that exterior hallway is just seeping from under the doors and stuff.
It's so just basically blocking the wind.
Yes. The third floor where I lived was warmer than the first floor, but I felt like I needed to be on the first floor because I would miss anybody that came in the building or was walking by or anything like that. And so I'm sitting down there, and I'm freezing. So I'm like, fuck, if I'm going to be out here all night, I'm gonna have to go back up to I'll freeze to death down here at the base. So I go all the way back up to the third floor. I'm sitting there. I don't even know. I'm at maybe an hour and a half, and I hear a door open and shut. So I go racing down the stairs or whatever, and it was somebody that had come in and gone in on the first floor, the one RA that was in the building for the week or whatever. And I start pounding on the door, and she looks around, and I'm like, and so she comes to the door, but she's not like opening the door. She's like, I don't. You look crazy.
Yeah,
you
know, and what you're naked.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm a student. I live on the third floor, but I locked myself out. I can't. And she's like, how'd you lock yourself out? I was like, I came out to walk some friends out, and I let the door shut behind me. And she was like, oh, okay, so you just need back on the floor? And I was like, yeah. She's like, do you have your ID? And I was like, it's in my room. And she was like, okay, well, you have to go in there and get it so I can see it after, but I'll let you in. So I'm afraid now that she's going to want to come into my room or whatever.
Right.
And so I was like, no problem, no problem. I'm freezing. She was like, okay, all right. So she comes up. She lets me into my hallway. As soon as she opens the door, I sprint down the hallway. Whatever. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm getting my ID. Sprint down the hallway, open the door, let it shut behind me so that way there's no chance of us walking down there together and her seeing my display of weed and paraphernalia that I had out. And I was probably watching porn or something on the TV already. And I just remember thinking, like, that was about to be the worst Christmas ever. You know what I'm saying? But then the next day, it was weird because I hate holidays. That's probably my least favorite time of any part of any year's holidays.
Right.
Not that I hate the people. I just don't like the pretentiousness of holidays. Like, everybody's supposed to pretend to be in a good mood today.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll help the less fortunate people because it's the season.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot
mm-hmm.
wait till the first of the year, though, because that shit is over.
Yes, I'm absolved of all my sins. But that wasn't the first. I probably spent 3 Christmases completely, not completely alone, but, like, without being with my family or a majority of the day I was by myself until I decided, or one of my friends was able to break free and hang out. But that was the scariest solo Christmas.
I don't think I've ever had one. Because when I got locked up, I missed a few holidays, but I think I was out before Christmas. I would remember that.
Yeah.
But,
You ever spend any holidays locked up? Of substance, ever been locked up? Like, damn, I can't believe I'm locked up today. Or even better, like, I'm so glad I'm locked up today.
No, I've never said that.
Mm.
I know I was locked up for my 16th birthday. And that was a 6-month stretch. So, but I got out.
Was that an adult prison?
No, I've never been to an adult prison. Just county jail.
Okay.
You know, after I got my felonies when I was...
You wouldn't go to a prison for a 6-month stint anyway, right?
Yeah, you can.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I probably will.
Listen to me, I said stint.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like I'm a cop.
You got no street cred at all right now. Yeah.
They got you on paper.
Yeah, and then when you get out the other... Or when you get in there, the other inmates are like, hey, I like your little prison stint you did there. Nice. So I did, I forget what month I got. I think I got out in like September. So that would be January, February, March, say March to September. Seems about right. So not really any major, holiday there. But during that stretch, I started off in Circleville, Ohio, then went to Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a real son of a bitch. I told John Reap this story on his podcast. And I go, because I was freaked out, because in Circleville, the whole time the staff, everybody's saying, you know, you go up to Cuyahoga Hills, you better be ready to fight and all this stuff. They're like, it's 97% black. I remember they kept saying it's 97% black in there. And I'm telling this story to John
Reap. Like,
they
ain't got no lights?
Yeah. And I tell John Reap, I'm like, yeah, dude, this jail, I get there, they're telling me it's 97% black, and John goes, oh, you mean like every jail? Oh, he's going to be in town January 7th through 10 or whatever.
Is he going to Liberty?
No, he's doing Dayton. I can't wait to see that dude, man. He's an awesome dude.
Funny
dude.
He's funny as hell. Good, nice guy, too. Just like a good
just
dude.
Just humble. When I first met him, I just couldn't believe that we were just sitting there trading stories back and forth. And I go, dude, I don't know, you're so humble or whatever, you would not even know. He goes, dude, I learned a long time ago that everything I have can be taken tomorrow. He goes, you know, I don't want to burn any bridges. And he's just not that kind of guy, you know, he's not a pretentious guy.
I feel like he stole the show in the Harold and Kumar movies.
Yeah, dude, I only seen a few pieces of that, but the scene that I did where he, like, tackled a deer or something with a deer. I remember that was hilarious.
Yeah, stuffing it in a bag.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love that guy. So I'm fired up about that.
You gonna middle or open?
I won't be able to middle because I was just there in, November. But I might be able to pick up the week hosting or whatever.
Any more word on the 6th?
No, as far as I know, it's still locked in. I saw Brad Williams is there the 7th. So I think we're doing like the soft opening on that follow or the Wednesday.
Who's headlining?
I don't know. I know that me and you are on, and that's all that I know.
Good gravy.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up for that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for that, too.
I'd love to have the whole place packed out.
Man, can you imagine what that's going to look like?
Yeah, that's going to be nice.
I'm going to record a DVD. I mean, it's my first DVD. It's 12 minutes long, and half of it's announcements.
Did you you see that big, nice camera they got mounted on the wall there?
I did.
Nice.
I did, and I feel like if you give them permission, they should be able to rip you a fucking DVD.
Yeah. That's what Jimmy was saying, that they can just do it, put it on a whatever, a SIM card or a stick or whatever.
On an LP, a little round. What were those little records called? Special name.
Right, and then you had sometimes you had to get the little plastic piece to put this in.
Yes.
Yeah, what are those? Those wouldn't be the 45s, right?
That is a 45.
That is a 45?
I think that's a 45.
And what's the big one?
A record? I don't know. I don't remember what they call it. I don't know. Album's more of a generic.
This might be an edit.
And we're back! So I was at this Tim Hortons.
They're coming in hot. It's,
we're sitting outside of Tim Hortons. In my car, in the stretch Prius. And I was in here about 2 weeks ago with my son, and I walked in and just wanted, we're going to eat in here, and we're just going to get some food after a game. And we were in there, and there was a lady leaning on the counter, like she had been waiting for a while, and there was another girl waiting to pick up her food. There was a couple people sitting around. The drive-thru line was kind of long, but it looked like there was only 3 people in the store. And it was just a shit show, man. Nobody greeted us. We were there for about 6 minutes. Before I walked out, I was like, you're not making my food.
We'll go to Speedway.
Yeah, they got this shit hot and ready. but I was just thinking to myself, like, I usually come to Tim Hortons because it's run better.
Right.
But if you go to any restaurant, typically on a Sunday, the general manager's off and the first assistant manager is off. So you got, like, a shift manager and a couple of high schoolers. And it was just... It broke my heart, because usually when I come to this Tim Hortons, no matter how long the line is, it's like speedy service.
Oh, I never get that here. But I most of the time when I come, I'm dropping Chloe off for school. Then I come down here, and the drive-thru line will literally be wrapped around the damn thing.
Jeez.
And then the same thing, I would come in, and it's just a shit show. It's crazy.
I remember one time I was in there a couple years ago, because I used to live right around the corner. I used to be here all the time, and I saw the general manager come in, and I could only tell he was the general manager because he was in street clothes, because of how everybody's buttholes tightened up real quick.
Oh, everybody was whipped into shape.
It was like watching people walk, and then all of a sudden they turned into robots on double time speed. And they're out there wiping down tables and cleaning the glass, and it was just like, okay, that's how it should be running all the time anyway.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
You can do it. Dude, where was I at? Oh, we were at the mall the other day, and you know, we go past the little pet store or whatever, the little puppy meal.
Yeah.
And, of course, Sophie wants to play with an animal. So we go in there, and...
Does she hit you with the, can we keep him?
No.
She knows better.
Yeah, she knows better. She knows I'll fucking choke it out right in front of her. I'll DDT the son of a bitch. But
I'll teach you to want an animal.
So she wants to play this dog or whatever. And so I'm just waiting there, and there's 3 people in there working the same kind of thing. 2 of them are talking to each other.
Yeah.
The other one's on her phone, and I'm just standing there waiting for him. And, you know, I'm pretty passive, and, you know, so I'll just basically stand there before I interrupt somebody. Like, excuse me, I just won't do that.
Yeah.
But then I'm sitting there longer and longer and longer, and I'm starting to get pissed off. And no exaggeration, it must have been 10 minutes. I'm just standing there, like, looking at him, trying to make it obvious, you know, and they just did not give a shit at all. And I was like, yep, I'm going to hurt this puppy.
Yeah.
You know, you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, this you could have prevented this.
You remember when your son was young and he's just starting to get his first, like, good head of hair, and his mom pisses you off, so you reach over and just kind of like pull the kid's hair. So you hurt the kid to make the mom sad. Yeah, you remember when you do that?
Of course.
When I wonder when you outgrow that.
I don't know if you
ever. It's getting old.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where I've realized any long-term relationship is built on mutual pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't...
How much can you endure?
How much can you endure? And if I'm in pain, you got to be in pain, too.
An equal amount of pain.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nothing worse than being... Like, my wife hurt her neck, and so I'm not there to kind of take care of her, right? And she's, like, upset, because she's like, I can barely move, and I'm like...
It's okay. She's tailgating the Bears
game. That's exactly my point, right? She went out drinking last night, watched the fight... But earlier that day, she's like, you're never here when I need you. And I'm like, I know. You know? Yeah, I know. And I feel bad because when I busted up my mouth, I was only in Cincinnati to go to her brother's wedding. And the night before, fall and bust my mouth open. And so I'm on bed rest for like 4 days after that. And she's waiting on me hand and foot.
I feel like women can take it better. I really do. You know, Rinda's not...
I can be a good bed nurse, I think, but not when I'm away. You know what I mean? I didn't get the chance to repay the favor.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I get you that owe kind her of one. Pain. Yeah. Yeah. At the very least.
You hear that, babes?
Yeah.
He owes you one.
Yeah, she's writing it down right now.
You let me know if this son of a bitch doesn't.
Oh, she will.
She's like, I don't listen to your cast.
What makes you think?
Unless somebody tags me in a post here, I'm not.
And then I'll just have a app dictate the whole thing to me, and I'll look for my name.
I like you ask her, hey, how'd you like the episode with me and Jay? Oh, it was really good. What was your favorite part? Oh, I really loved when you guys were talking.
Yeah,
You guys were talking. It was like
you're doing your own thing.
Got your own voice. You guys had like this dialogue going.
All right, let's tell that story. Tell that story of Bloomington, Indiana, with Mike Gardner.
Illinois, right?
Was it Illinois?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Illinois.
Bloomington, Indiana is a comedy attic in Bear's place.
Oh, you're right. So we're in. I forgot that was Illinois.
Bloomington, Illinois, and
what's the name of the club?
It was Laugh. Laugh Bloomington,
yep.
And
the outside of it's got, it looks pretty nondescript. It looks like it'd be a great club, but it's got like a checkerboard kind of around the edge of the building, and it's got different famous people's faces. It's got like
all the greats.
And then it's got like
Hicks, Pryor, Carlin,
and
Chappelle,
Dane Cook
and Maria Bamford.
That was somebody paid to put those up.
Yeah, that was a...
Not that Dane Cook and Maria Bamford aren't fantastic comedians, but it was...
They don't go on to Mount Rushmore.
Nah, they're not on the Mount Rushmore yet. Not that status, but I can appreciate it. I mean, they're... Here's the thing. If you recognize their caricature, that would impress me more. Because right. These are just paintings, you know, renditions.
What are you looking at, lady? You never seen a half-black person before?
Recording a goddamn podcast in
their
car? Is
this his Prius, you K-word?
It's my wife's Prius, but that's all right. So we're up there with BT, the headliner.
BT, awesome, funny, hilarious guy, nice guy. And what, it was at the end of the week, right? And
we're just like, hey. Thursday through Saturday night.
Yeah. And so we go, at the end I say, hey, BT, thanks for being so cool. And so I think this might have been like one of the first times that I opened for him. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever met him.
And I was like, hey, BT, man, thanks for being so cool, really funny. Thanks for the encouraging words, all that stuff. And BT says, yeah, man, you guys doing, you know, you guys doing your own thing. You got your own voice. You know, you're doing, what was that?
That's basically it. He's like, what I think had actually happened is he had gotten paid already. And the manager told him, something like, I don't know if I'm gonna have enough money to pay the other two guys or whatever, something like that. So I think he was softening the blow for us. So he was trying to give us some compliments. He was like, you guys, you got your own voice. You're doing your own thing up there. You know, you standing out, you know, got these jokes worked out already. It's good. And then he walks away. And then you said to me, you're like, did he just give us street compliments?
You give us stock compliments.
Stock street compliments. Like a stock joke would be, what's a typical stock joke?
What in the hell is this, dude?
It looks like a carjacking at slow speed.
you said, what was the question?
So he said it was like a stock compliment. And so then what would be the an example of a stock joke? Like a stock joke would be this. A stock joke is a joke that a comedian uses in their act, but it's not something they've written. It's something right. that anybody can use. It's almost like, it'd be like if you had a free use song that nobody pays any royalties to. Nobody's going to call you
right.
a joke thief for using this, but at the same time, if you use too many stock jokes, then you're just a hack comedian.
Yeah, you're not getting any respect.
So right. a stock joke would be something like when the comedian stops talking for a few minutes and people are like, what's going on? And then you say, yeah, like you guys work at your jobs the whole time.
Right,
you
know,
I'm just
right,
taking a
yeah,
break.
Yeah.
And I've done that.
I don't come down to your job and slap the dick out of you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah so... it was interesting, and then you went and got paid, and I got nothing. But I did drink my weight in pay that weekend.
Yes.
I mean, like, whatever I would have made for that weekend, I would, and if I wasn't getting free drinks, I would have had to turn around and pay.
You actually
back.
Might have saved some money by not getting paid.
Exactly. I think that, too. And also, what the best part of that whole sitch was that I got to, we got to a nice hotel. Remember when we went up and looked at the first place we were going to stay?
Yes.
It was pretty bad looking. In fact, it would have been the worst accommodations I've ever stayed in for comedy. By, I mean, like,
we
by
didn't
a factor
even get,
of 10.
We didn't even get, like within 5 minutes of walking up there, less than 5 minutes, we got a text saying, go to the hotel.
Yes, but it was funny because we were up there, there's like a dog barking, and it's like a new dog, you know, like.
But he doesn't have a dog, which is weird.
Yeah. And there's like, it's just like an apart. It looked like a crash pad for people that worked at the club, but they also had their own homes. But yeah. like oh, we were out too late last night, so I crashed here, took a shower, right. and didn't clean anything. And I remember like I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking because I'm so new to comedy at this point. I'm thinking like, if this is the worst accommodations I ever stay in, then I'll be okay with it. If this is just the work, then I'd be okay right. with it. But I look over at you as I'm telling myself that, and you've got this look on your face like, you son of a bitch, you better not say it's okay to stay here.
Which part of the floor do you want?
And then you got, and you're like not even unpacking your bag. You're just kind of standing there, breathing through your nose. You got this look on your face, and then you get a text, and you give me the wrap it up symbol like we're on a construction site.
Like I'm swinging a lasso.
Exactly. Wrap it up, buddy. We're going to the hotel. And when I was like, what hotel? And you were like, the Sleep Inn. And I was like, I know that's going to be like a mansion compared to this. We shared a room. And for what that was worth, it was worth it, the experience. And to be honest, I think I might have had one or two good sets out of 5 shows we did that week.
Yeah, the crowds were...
There were small
crowds.
There were small crowds, and...
I think that club's opened back up now. The
really?
Original owners have control of it again, yeah. But I don't know exactly if they're doing weekly shows or...
Special
monthly specials, something like that, but...
It's an older building. I can't imagine the rent's that high because it's on the outskirts of the downtown, but it's a college town, right?
Yeah.
We went out after that show.
Yeah, there's a few bars right around the corner there. It's a fun little town, but the last time I was there, they did a lot of work to the place. I mean,
it was under construction when we were there.
Huge improvement from when you were there.
Really?
I mean, absolutely. I mean,
huh?
Big improvement.
Might have to go into the email vault.
Yeah, dude. Especially if you could hit the old. Which you just did, what would you, not Peoria, but, oh, Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, what, 30, 40 minutes from Decatur.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's right there. So, which that's probably still, what, 3 or 4 hours from you
yeah.
in Chicago?
Yeah, about 3. Yeah, and I like those. I like being able to do, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go down early, check into the hotel, just so I have a staging ground to get ready before the show. But right. a lot of times, if it's 2 hours from the house, I'll just... wear the jeans I'm going to wear and change my shirt in the parking lot.
Yeah, I always just wear my pants.
As a general rule, I always try to tell them I took the hotel unless I tell them in advance I don't need it.
Right.
Because I don't want some other feature act to not get a hotel because they're like, well, the last 3 features didn't need it.
Yeah.
You know?
Paid for it and then they just drove back.
Yeah. And it's one of those, it's shitty, but it's like not shitty if the show made money. So I did a show... I think it might have even been that Decatur show. I don't know if the headliner stayed. I didn't stay. No, actually, I did stay. But I don't think the headliner did. And But he told the guy he did, and I was right. like, yeah, that's a good move, because you especially don't want to burn that bridge as right. the headliner.
Yeah, because they're just looking there. There's $100 gone.
Yeah, but that show was packed, and I had a great set. In fact, the last few good sets that I've had, I had audio recorded, and my phone broke, and I can't get them off because the screen is locked up, and if I plug my phone into the computer, it right. won't let me have access to the files unless I unlock it from the screen.
So it's just
done? It's just done. I mean, like, I'd say this is a good...
Can't you do a manual override? I don't know if that's a thing.
I don't know if it is either, man.
I can't impress myself with that.
I could probably get, like, a guru, like a tech guru to hack it and get the stuff off of it.
Right.
But what's crazy is that for a day and a half before I realized it was completely dead, I installed a program that was allowing me to use my computer to look at my phone's screen in real time so I could read text messages and...
Right.
stuff like that, but I never went in and disabled the screen lock, and I never went in and transferred the files, which I could have done, but didn't, because I was like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. And
I'm fucking disappointed in you.
Dude.
What are you doing at the, you're featuring the Funny Bone, Dayton Funny Bone? On...
Day after Christmas, and the 26th and 27th.
What's that? Is that a Friday, Saturday, or?
I think it's Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. 16, 23. Yeah, because Christmas is on a Friday.
Right. I'll be there with John Evans. I think I was just doing a two-man.
Nice.
I'll tell
you. Are you doing the Comics Come Home? I think that's, what, 22nd, 23rd?
I don't know. If it is, I'm probably doing it, but I don't know.
I don't know who was on that, but...
Who's coordinating it? Megan?
Megan.
I'll take a look at it.
That's she's Megan at DaytonFunnyBone.com.
Yeah, yep. Hit her up. She loves emails from comics.
Hold on, give her the promo word.
Got your own voice.
Got your own voice.
I've got my own voice. That she told when she told me, because John Evans asked me to get the weekend that he was coming in, and I was like, okay, but I was supposed to do the John, the Heffron weekend, which I think was this weekend.
Yeah, it's this week. Who? Oh, it's DJ Dangler picked that up,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
You took the feature weekend set.
And,
I would have also, because it's more money.
Well, it's the same amount of money for half the amount of work. But the biggest reason I did it was because I had ordered new merch, and it just got here. And I can't sell it as an MC, but I think I could kill as a feature with it.
So you will be merching.
I'll be merching Marine at the Funny Bone on the 26th, 27th. And then I'm featuring at Wiley's the second week of... January.
Who's that with?
Kostaki Economopoulos.
Kostaki.
Who was ironically the last person I featured for at Wiley's like 2 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's funny to me because I was put on ice when the new management took over, but then Todd McComas did a manual override.
Shout out.
Gave me the manual override. And I got in, and that was fun because I've got to work with Todd a couple times, and he's probably one of my favorite people to work with.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. Everybody loves him.
Yeah, no, I don't see how you couldn't. You'd have to be a damn near fugitive of the law.
He's one of them people where if somebody's like, ah, dude, I don't like him, then automatically you're like, oh, you're a dick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're the asshole.
Yeah.
Then you got the Taco Bell breakfast. Because sometimes, you know...
I don't think I've ever partaken in the...
I haven't, but I almost did yesterday because it was convenient. But then I was like, I got too much to do to have diarrhea all day.
Right.
And so, also, it's one of those things that, like, I can't eat fake eggs. And I know they're not cracking eggs in there.
Right.
I mean, a lot of places I know aren't cracking eggs, but those...
Wait, you're not allergic to
powdered eggs? No, I can eat eggs. I can't eat raw egg yolk. Like, not raw, but, like, if I had a hard-boiled egg... And I took the yolk out of it and put that in my... It would be like eating a small piece of chicken. But I can eat deviled eggs. I don't know. I mean, I can't eat too many of them, but...
That seems unchristian.
It does. I don't know if the mayonnaise neutralizes the devil's curse, what gave me the allergy. But it's getting bad. The last few times I've had chicken, it's been scary. Like I've been out of pocket... No medication to get me, you know, back to normal. I think Benadryl's the only thing I can take if I'm like
out. Does that
the
knock? Does it knock you out?
It makes me fall asleep, but the reaction is just terrifying, dude. It's like having a prolonged heart attack. It was what I imagine it feels like. I've never had a short heart attack, but it's like massive chest pains that come and go like every minute. And it's like this really sharp shooting pain, and then it subsides for a few seconds, and then it comes back.
Damn, really?
Yeah, it's the last time it happened, I was like almost unconscious from the pain when the ambulance got there. And then they got me to the hospital, and they shot me full of like adrenaline and Benadryl or something. I don't know what it was exactly, but
just give me a script of that adrenaline, please.
Yeah, I'll take it before games. And the what was crazy was that I couldn't even talk right for about a week because it had, my esophagus had gotten, my voice box got so much damage from the swelling, I think.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it turns me inside out. And then I can't eat anything spicy for about 2 months or anything. Just give me instant heartburn. It just shreds my
inner. I have to take medicine every day for heartburn.
Oh, dude, what
I
do you
take?
I probably
have bleeding ulcers.
Yeah? Well, yeah. What, you take the over-the-counter? You take the Prilosex?
No, I got a script.
Mm. Good for you.
Omeprazole, no, I believe
hey,
it is. It
don't
is.
Brag.
No brag.
Hey, listen, no one likes a bragger.
And, I mean, having that script, that saves me about probably $8 a month, you know?
Hell. Well, hell. That's like paying you to take it.
Yeah, that's the only thing I take.
What you got coming up?
I got Donnie Baker,
December 19th. You son of a bitch.
Strand Theater in Shelbyville, Indiana.
That's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I'm fired up for that. Did one with him last week. It was rock.
How many times have you opened
status
for Donnie Baker this year?
Oh, man, must have been a dozen, I guess.
Jesus.
He's an awesome dude. And, yeah, I love opening for him. He's awesome, and his crowds are just perfect for my material. Mm-hmm. It's just ideal.
Yeah, dude, the first time I opened for him was in some rural Ohio. I can't remember exactly, but it was like 400, 500 people or something like that in this like party. It was like a place where after proms would have parties or something right. Like that. It's like it was huge. It wasn't open every day of the week. It was open for engagements. And I told my first opening joke. I was the first comedian on stage. I told my opening joke, and it was like in Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox plugs in his guitar on that giant speaker, and right. He's like, and it throws him to the back of the room.
Right.
I'd never heard that much sound come back at me indoors. I mean, it took my breath away. And I was with Kenny Smith, and his first joke was about my jacket that I was wearing. He thought it was too small, and so he made some jokes about it or whatever. The silence.
They're like,
they love me too much to laugh at.
Don't you make fun of our Negro friend?
He's one of the good ones.
That's our collard, mm-hmm. All right? Don't you fucking do it.
Brent Terhunes was there. He did good.
Terhunes is fucking hilarious. Oh, dude, the meme. Nice. The meme that's going around of you right now is...
Which one? Niggas be like... Mixed niggas be like...
I love the Biscuits and Chris Allen's. Oh, dude.
Yeah, Biscuits to me is my favorite because it was...
It's a little deeper.
It's a little bit deeper, but I do like the one Chris Allen did too because it's... they're both very Adrian specific, if you know me. You know what I mean? So...
Oh, that's hilarious. I thought that they were just going to start flooding. If I knew how to do that, I would...
Apparently, a couple got posted. At least one got posted and got taken down.
Really?
I never saw. I didn't see him till like, the next day, because I have this new phone, and it just doesn't get the same quickness on the internet or whatever, so I typically don't check Facebook or anything unless I'm waking up. So it was like the next morning, I opened it up, and I saw the memes and stuff. I was talking to Chris yesterday about it, and he was like, yeah, man, somebody posted one that said... I didn't take too many edibles. I just work out real hard.
I wonder who took that one down.
Well, Chris posted that crosses some lines or whatever, and so the dude took it down, which, to be honest, I wouldn't have cared if it had stayed up, but I appreciate that somebody was thinking, like, look, those...
It sounds like a damn Dean to me.
I know who it was now, but I don't want to say his name on air, but here's the general hard, fast rule as far as I'm concerned on those types of things. Is as comedians, everything's pretty much fair game except for your vices.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you know me or whatever, and you know what I'm into or what I do in my private life or whatever, that's fine. We can joke about that, you know, amongst comedians, but you don't put that on right. Facebook for somebody or anything like that. And to be perfectly honest, I think I've been completely transparent about the experience or whatever. Yeah. So that's why it doesn't really bother me that right. that came
you've
out.
You've already said nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's also one of those things that it's like, here's what it is. When I got this thing happened to me a couple of years ago after this festival where this guy was posting, like the post started off with, so the asshole's name is Adrian Cosby or something like
I
that.
I remember that. Yeah. Yes.
And it was over an incident that I was involved in it, but I wasn't guilty of what they were accusing me of. And nobody, only one person came to my defense. As they weren't even there, you know what I mean? But they were like, look, I know this dude. Actually, two people did. They were like, I know this dude, and that does not sound like him.
Right.
And the other dude who was saying I did wasn't there either, but he was like, nope, it's been confirmed, all this other stuff. They're like, well, I'm not saying he didn't say it. I'm just saying that doesn't sound like him at all. Right. And I was like, thank you for at least, because that's what I would do for anybody that I know that was being accused of something, right. Especially in comedy. I was accused of heckling another comedian.
At a festival.
At a festival, which is like, dude, it was a hostile environment, you know what I mean? And she started off, before she even got on stage, because nobody was getting any attention from the crowd. Or really, people were there to drink. They didn't know there was going to be a comedy festival.
Right.
So there's like a bar and then a stage area, and the people at the bar area do not give a fuck, and they're talking, and they're being loud.
Typically. Right.
And so she's yelling at them a couple times before anybody even goes, or before her or I go up, shut the fuck up! And then we walk away.
Oh, that's always good.
And then so she gets on stage and she's telling him to shut the fuck up. And after like the second time she told him to shut the fuck up, somebody from the bar area yells, say something funny. And she's like, who said that? She comes off the stage with the mic. Who said that? And
what the fuck is she expecting to happen?
That was kind of my question. Like, if you had just ignored them, this would have never been an issue or whatever.
And you don't say shut the fuck up.
Well, whether you do or you don't, I don't know.
But it's
not to a group of people.
It's typically never going to work.
It can if you're in a show where one person is being the problem. But in a show where too many people are being the problem, you're going to fight an uphill battle right there. But anyway, she says that. She comes off the stage, and after she gets in these guys' faces, they're like, she's like, who said that? They point at me. And I'm waiting by the stage to go up because I'm next. And she's already gone over her time. And she walks up to me from behind and she's like, you said that? You're a fucking comic and you said that? I was like, I didn't say... She even puts the mic in my face. I was like, I swear to fucking God I didn't say anything. I was like, I've been talking to this guy right here. And who was Zach, who was the MC. And apparently he later said that I said it too, which was weird. But he was wasted. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen somebody who was supposed to be emceeing a show drunk before. But
wow, that means something. In this present company.
Indeed, yes. It does. But he was also, he seemed young, so I can't say what was really going on there. But in any case, the people that came to my defense, thank you, Carlin Haggerty was one of them. He's the one that even told me it was happening, because I wasn't friends with any of these people. So I looked at it, and CJ's like, dude, you got to address this. And I was like, well, I don't. You know, I was like, yeah. The people that know me, I've spoken on my behalf, and all I can say, I posted on my page, is all I can say is I didn't say it, you know? That right. wasn't me. And
I didn't rape her.
Yeah, it was like, dude, if you saw the comments of what people were saying, like, I should be dragged out into the street and beaten and stuff like that. So when I was explaining it to another comic a couple of weeks, I think it was Ryan Singer, he was like, oh, I bet he books shows. And I was like...
Oh, that's what, yeah.
And so when I made peace with the girl the next day...
Right.
Because I was like, look, you can believe whatever you want. I'm not going to try to change your mind. I just want you to know that I'm saying to you, again, it wasn't me that said it. I would never treat another comic like that. And that's really all I have to say. And she's like, no, it's okay. Got blown out of proportion. I'm sorry that happened and stuff. So we made peace over the time. But then as one of the last things she said to me before we were leaving the festival was like, hey, we do shows in Seattle. If you want to come up, you know, just send me an email. We'll put you on a show.
Yeah, trying to set me up for failure here.
I don't know. But either way, that was the thing that made me realize, like, oh, you know, when you book a show, you have people's ear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially people that are, and that's not, I don't think that's wrong. You know what I mean? It's just
the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
That's with any job.
Yeah, and that's like the same thing with me. It's like this when that shit all blew up with Vince, I didn't make any comments on it or anything like that because Vince handled it himself.
Yeah,
he spoke for himself. Perfectly. And he was basically saying, I don't need anyone to speak for me on this behalf, but
he handled it perfectly, and it could have been... Because that was a bad situation, but it could have got a lot uglier.
But what blew my mind are the similarities of how many people have an opinion about some shit that they didn't even see. They're taking the context off of somebody else's outrage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Which was taken out of context. Exactly. They originally taken out of context. But he's got a verbal waiver that everybody signs.
The disclaimer, it's... And to me, that's brilliant. In fact, I had to kind of... I didn't step on his at all. But when I was in Decatur, I did a joke where somebody was like, hey, that's not funny. And I had to tell him to shut the fuck up. And it got a good response, but I wanted to listen back to that. And I can't because my damn phone's...
Wanted to see how it really went.
Yeah, because there's times sometimes when you think that you won a battle and then you go back and listen to it and you're like, I wasn't as decisive as I thought it was when it was happening. It happened to me at Laugh Fest last year when I got heckled and a drunk lady... fell onto the stage and spilled her drink. And, I mean, I got laughs out of it, but at the time I was thinking, like, for totally screwing me over in a contest, and in a way I screwed myself over because I didn't just ignore it. I went at them. You know what I mean? I went at audience members. But she was belligerent. Brian McCree went up before me, and he ignored it. But I could tell it was affecting him. And when I got up there from the moment, he's not going to be funny. Uh-huh. Oh, really? Oh, really? You can hear it on the recording. And then I was like, all right. I just walked up. I was like, all right, what's going on here? You know, you drunk? What's going on? And
sometimes you basically take the bullet for the comics that's following you.
And I think I really did because they got escorted out. I don't know if they would have got escorted out if I had ignored them. Brian said I could see him talking to the bouncers. He might have even said something to me, like, watch out for these two bitches up here. Something like that. I don't know if that.
You ladies seem drunk. Who's drunk? She's got her boots on the stage. You can tell she's that kind of whore. And it's okay because somebody's going to have to blow the officer to get you guys on the ticket. And that's okay. That's going to be it. She's got a smile, guys. She's going to be okay with this shit. Oh, yeah. This isn't her first rodeo. Oh, yeah. All right, shut up, ho. I mean that with all due respect. But you do have to shut the fuck up now. Really? You guys having a good night? Yeah. I'm having a great night. Did you guys have a good Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Oh, Valentine's Day is tough. Men, we always want to stay in. Ladies, you want to go out. I had a broke up on Valentine's Day, actually. I got in a fight with my girlfriend. I wanted to stay in. She wanted me to pull out. It was weird. Let's not fight about this. We went to a party. Shut up! You're right here. I can hear you. This isn't TV.
I'm leaving, just so you know.
Okay. I'm sure you'll make lots of money once you hit the street. It's okay. I got nothing to do with me. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That wasn't you. No, you gotta be careful. This is a contest. This is $25,000, $2,500. I'm not winning tonight. I did. Thank you for staying, though. You're beautiful. You guys are a great audience.
His exact quote was, but I wasn't very impressed with my overall showing in that contest. However, I was happy that I was able to win that battle, you know, in a short amount of time. I think after it was all over, the first thing I said was, well, there's $2,500 I won't be winning. And I just went through and did the rest of my set, and it seemed to go pretty well after that. But the guy that won it should have won it. And it was very funny. And it was just an honor to be there for me. That was one of those things where it's like, I couldn't even believe I was invited. I subbed in for BT.
BT was out doing his own thing.
He's got his own voice. He got his own tour. He makes his own contest.
I love BT. Last time I saw him, we were doing like a New Year's Eve last year in Kokomo, Indiana. And we got to hang out. We did a lot of shows that week. I think New Year's Eve was actually Donnie Baker and the Pork Pistols. But me and BT did the night before and the two nights after. And I got to hang out a lot and bullshit and everything. And he's an awesome dude, man.
He's really his own man.
Absolutely.
He does his own damn thing.
He doesn't, not a drinker. Nope. I mean, occasionally he drinks. I think he just like loves comedy and working out.
And racing.
Right, loves motorcycle, yes. Yeah, he knows everything about that shit. He goes to all those. Yeah, I would do that. Which is like anything. It's a lot better live.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the moment, you hear the shit, you feel it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta get, dude.
All right, brother. It was good chatting with you. What are you doing tonight, fam?
Tonight, you're going to take the fam to see some Christmas lights, whatnot. Probably go to Clifton. What time are you heading out?
I have a game at 3:30, and then after the game, I gotta, coaching my son's soccer team, and then after that I'm going to watch the next game because we're in first place and the second and third place teams play after us.
So I'm going to watch scouting that.
Because we don't play the second place team again, but it's been a good series. I think there's 8-9 teams in this league, and we play every team twice except for one. And one of the teams we don't play twice is one of the top three teams. So it's a statistical battle at this point. Even though we haven't lost a game, the outcome of this game will really determine how the rest of the season shakes out. Because we do play one of those teams again. And if we tie one of the top teams, then it comes down to how many goals you've scored and how many goals have been scored against you. Currently leading that battle, but historically haven't led that battle.
Right.
The other team that I'm worried about has scored more goals against teams that we've played and beat, but by bigger margins.
Right.
So we got to really limit our goals against.
So you just need to beat them.
If we don't lose any games, we win the league. If we don't lose any,
I don't know what the problem is. All you do is not lose.
Being in first place for me is a foreign affair. Every team I've ever played on has never been a first-place team. We've always
thought you were in first place, but that's just because you struggled with dyslexia.
Oh, last place. I get it. We made it all the way to the bottom. Started from the top. Now we're here. But I get as much joy out of coaching as I do out of doing comedy. It's just a different
bone.
Yeah, a different bone that it's tickling.
Oh, I'll be the finals of Dayton's Got Talent. I don't know when you're dropping this.
This will be, before Wednesday.
So we got the finals, Dayton's Got Talent, Wednesday at the Funny Bone. That's going to be a fun one because it's going to be comics and musicians. So
On Wednesday, yeah. And that's also a birthday party?
That's Rinda's birthday. Yeah. But she's going to have a party afterwards. I'm assuming that I'll be driving that night.
Okay.
She's hitting the big 35, which is weird. I didn't think I'd ever be married to an old woman.
Ugh, 35. My wife just turned 35, and I'm like, God, I'm gonna trade down. Yeah, I need a newer model.
God, you guys are old.
The finals. Who do you? Yeah, you can't predict a winner in that.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I think it could go either way.
Who's in the finals? Comedy.
Comedy. You got Brock Shank. He's been doing really good because he's got a lot of family material, but it's really funny stuff.
He cracked me up last time I saw him.
Nate Washington. Ugh. I'll be honest, I don't remember who all is in it.
Joe Deuce?
I think Joe is in it. Yeah, Joe is in it, yep. He could win. I mean, really, I feel like anybody could win it.
Yeah, I'd say Brock's the underdog, but he's not because I never notice a lack of performance.
Right, you would never tell that.
He would do it every week.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that it goes to comedy, but you know, comedy's hard to.
Yeah, because it's going to be an overall winner. It's not like two different sections.
Right. Comedy's one winner take all.
Comedy's battling musicians.
Right.
Or singers or whatever. Is Nova? Did he make the finals?
No. There's some good musicians, dude.
What time does that start? 7:30?
7:30 on Wednesday. Yeah, you say my name. Get it free.
Jay Snyder. All right, man. Well, this is the end of part two. Jay Snyder story time.
There's a devil on my shoulder.